I'm John Kroll. Today on No Limits, we're going to take a break from politics and elections to talk about an Indiana faith-based family sports program that is celebrating a half century of existence. My guests are Steve Carr, who is the current First Baptist Athletics Director, and George Robinson, a retired First Baptist Athletics Director. Please join the conversation. You can call 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or track us down on Twitter at WFYI. Now, this news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We're going to be taking a break from politics and elections, a brief one today on No Limits, and we're going to be talking about an Indiana faith-based family sports program that is celebrating 50 years of history this week. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or you can track us down on Twitter at WFYI. My guests are Steve Carr, who is the current First Baptist Athletics Director, and George Robinson, who is the retired First Baptist Athletics Director. Welcome to both of you. It's good to have you here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, John.
Certainly. I got to do a disclosure at the top of the program here. So everyone, my children pretty much grew up as part of the First Baptist Athletics program. I've spent many a happy hour at the baseball fields, the softball fields, the soccer fields, and in that actually cramped and somewhat claustrophobic basketball gym that you have where the floor, the divider between where the floor ends and the stands begin is kind of a fuzzy concept.
It's pretty intimate.
It is. It is intimate, but it was a wonderful place, and they had many, many happy hours there. So let's talk a little bit. I'm going to walk us through memory lane a little bit later, but let's talk about how you're marking this occasion of the 50th anniversary of this. And I don't care who you want to start us, Steve?
Sure. Yeah, so founded in 1968, what was originally a program for church members has grown to over 2,000 participants a year all over Indianapolis from multi-religious and economic backgrounds. And for the 50-year anniversary this weekend, we're having a big celebration and reception at the church that's open to the entire community. And so we've spent this whole year celebrating together and just reminding folks of what makes it such a great place for families to come. And this Sunday, it all comes to a head as we just think about those folks who've been a part of making it such a great place.
Who are some of the people who are going to be involved in that this Sunday, George?
Well, it's going to be a combined worship service with First Baptist Church and the community. So the senior pastor, Evan Bever, will be involved. A friend of mine, Tim Wright, is going to play music. People know the Wright brothers. That's where Tim is from. And then we've invited, the program is entitled Legends and Legacy, so we've invited specifically invited some of the Hall of Fame, Volunteers of the Year, and youth sportsmanship winners over the years, over basically a 30-year period that started in 1988. So we're hoping some of those legends show up, but it's really about the legacy of First Baptist Athletics and what those folks did and what other church visionaries did to provide a community program, community-based program. It used to be called CCA, Church and Community Athletics. Mm-hmm. I changed that moniker in the early 90s to First Baptist Athletics because I thought it had a better ring to it. But it's about the entire community as well as the church, that partnership. And as Steve said, it's a very welcoming environment. You know that from having your kids there. We accept the star athletes and the kids who can't walk and chew gum, of which there are many of both of those categories, especially the latter. And it's an ecumenical program. We welcome people of all faiths and people who don't have a faith. And it's a great place to be. It's a social experience for the families. It's social development for the kids. They learn how to be a teammate, be part of a team, compete, but do it in a way that's a little different than what you often see, like 2 weeks ago when football coaches were exchanging punches and that sort of stuff.
Well, that is one thing that always impressed me about the program there. Having been involved, you know, in sports with my kids and in other kinds of arenas or whatever, the fact that you always policed not just how the kids were behaving, but also how the parents were behaving. You know, I remember George watching you ref a couple of basketball games and telling coaches or parents to take some of the anger out of their voices.
Yeah.
Was that there from the beginning? Was that part of the
approach? It really was. The program was deliberately, intentionally designed as an alternative to what we think of as Little League. I don't want to trash them, but the horror stories you hear about parents coming out of the stands and coaches yelling at umpires and all that kind of stuff. So we feel that it's extremely important what you model for a child, because they pick it up, they see it, and they're going to do it. So coaches, parents, officials, grandparents sometimes, everybody is expected to understand that we are truly, Steve said something the other day about other programs say it's for the kids and all that, but it really isn't practiced that way. At FBA, it is.
Yeah.
So go ahead, Steve.
A lot of programs, they put that in their mission, and then you see that they lack the accountability in holding people and reminding people and pointing people towards the mission. And George, you're right. I mean, kids are very smart, and they pick up on things that even we don't. This morning, I have three boys who are 5, 7, and 11, and I had shared with my 7-year-old that I'd be on the radio because he thinks that's really neat. And he goes, what are you going to be talking about? I said, well, you know, FBA and the good sportsmanship and all the good things that it's done over the years. He said, you ought to go ahead and tell everybody that these guys running an office should be good sports. And I thought it was really interesting that he was intuitive enough that he's been hearing the ads on the radio and seeing that stuff. And it reminded me of the deeper mission, which is to cultivate and teach people to treat each other with respect and not with hate. And we see that fleshed out at FBA better than any other program.
If you're just joining us, we are talking about First Baptist Athletics. It's celebrating its first 50 years of existence this week. If you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or you can track us down on Twitter at wfyi. So, George, I'm going to put this in some context for people who don't know, and since this show airs all over the state. First Baptist is the church at the corner of 86th
and College.
That it's an impressive building, but what really sets it apart is that there seem to be just acres and acres, if not miles and miles, of baseball diamond, soccer fields, and all of that stretching to the west of it and to the north.
Right. And First Baptist, to give you a little more, if I go too far in the weeds, let me know, but First Baptist Church and Second Presbyterian Church were on the World War Memorial Complex on Vermont until 1959. They both left that property and came north, Second Pres to 77th and Meridian, First Baptist to 86th and College. And in looking, and I was there, my dad was minister of music, we were called from Louisville, but in looking through church records and stuff, it's not evident to me that they were thinking of ball fields and an athletic program. when they purchased 37 acres, which is what it is,
yeah.
a property. But I believe that there were a couple of them who were, in fact, thinking of that. Buckshot O'Brien, who's a Indianapolis legend, played at Butler and all that, and he was part of the group that bought that property, and he did conceive of an athletic program. At that time, 86th Street was Highway 100. Mm-hmm. It was cornfields, and it was, Carmel, Fishers, all those places were very small burgs back at that time.
Were you involved at the time this
nope.
was founded?
I was 68? Just a kid growing up in the youth group, and my dad was a minister of music, and I played in that gym every chance I could, but I had nothing to do with the founding of the program. That was Dave Volley, mm-hmm. is the person who, he was a church member, and he founded the program in 1968.
What was the, you were around, though, so you could observe it. What was the motivation? What was the discussion about that? Because 1968 was a very volatile time in this country's history.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
And in this city's history, because,
yep.
you know.
King and Kennedy.
And all of that,
yep.
yes.
I don't know. I wasn't there because I'd gone off to college. But in talking with Dave in the meantime and other people, Ken Akers and others in the church, they wanted to start a program that was different than a traditional Little League program or youth sports program, that was an alternative, if you will. And they did, and they were very intentional about, we're going to do things a little differently. All the kids are going to get to play. Every child's going to be important. And that grew, but that was the seed, and other generations of leaders and coaches and the church members have followed in that, followed that vision. So it's had a profound impact, we think, on the community in which First Baptist resides.
So, Steve, when did you come on board?
5 years ago.
5 years ago. And what drew you to this?
You know, it's actually funny. I had no familiarity with mm-hmm. First Baptist Athletics. I would read a newsletter on nonprofits locally,
mm-hmm.
and I had read that they were hiring for the position. And I didn't think twice because I had a weird connotation with the Baptist Church, not knowing anything about the Baptist Church, mm-hmm. which I think a lot of people might share. turns out Martin Luther King Jr. was a Baptist. So there's,
he was an American Baptist, which is what we are. That's
yeah.
correct.
So I've learned a lot of – I'm not a Baptist, so I've learned a lot about it. And then, you know, as I read more about the program, I decided to talk with somebody on the board of directors there. And the gentleman I spoke with knew I had a background doing a lot of youth work mm-hmm. and work with families. Mm-hmm. And him being familiar with some of the organizations I had worked with thought that it would be a really good fit, and as we talked and got to know more about the program, I really liked what I saw, and we kind of went from there.
Was it daunting in any way coming? Because it is, particularly for people who live in Indianapolis, First Baptist Athletics is, plays a fairly prominent role. You could list a lot of people who either have participated in that program or sent their children, and after 50 years, you've got some who are sending grandchildren and great grandchildren.
Yeah, that's what we're starting to see.
So, was it daunting stepping into those shoes?
Yeah, I'd say it was. I mean, I'd be lying if I said Jordan and I didn't butt heads occasionally when I started, and probably more so then than we do
yes.
now.
Yeah.
George had been there for 25 years almost, and he really put everything he had into making that program what it is today and building up the foundation that was in place. So to come in as somebody who nobody knows, that can be tough. And I also think, and I was warned, a lot of people have a lot of ideas. Mm-hmm. Like a place like that, you have 40 acres of property. You should be doing what Grand Park is doing up in Westfield.
Right, exactly.
You should be pumping in the money and bringing all these people in and doing this and doing that. And that was difficult coming in because I did have to field tons of meetings and ideas and things we should be doing. And while I would say administratively, we changed up some things and maybe I switched up some programming things, but foundationally, we did not give those any merit on the front end, and we still don't today because we know what makes FBA special, and we don't need to change that at all.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about First Baptist Athletics. It's an Indiana faith-based youth sports program that is celebrating 50 years of history this week. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or track us down on Twitter at wfyi. My guests are Steve Carr. He is the current First Baptist Athletics Director, and George Robinson, who is the retired First Baptist Athletics Director. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking today on No Limits about First Baptist Athletics. It's a faith-based youth sports program in Indianapolis that is celebrating, marking 50 years of history. My guests are Steve Carr, who is the current First Baptist Athletics athletic director, and George Robinson, who is the retired First Baptist Athletics director. So, George, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Steve before we went to the break.
Okay.
What drew you to the program? Because you were, 25 years is a long slice of life.
It's a big chunk. And, as I said, I grew up in that church, loved the church, went off to college and did graduate school and a number of other things. Came back in the early to mid-80s to Indianapolis from Amherst, Massachusetts. And frankly, I was lost. I was in the wilderness. I didn't know what to do with my life. Graduate school hadn't worked out and other things had not. And they needed someone to run the basketball program at FBA. And my aunt, my beloved Aunt Ruth, said, well, George is pretty good with kids and he knows basketball. So they hired me to run the program, and after a couple of months, they hired me in 1990 to be director. And I was director until 2013. But it was just, truthfully, John, what Ruth said, I love kids. Don't have any of my own. Had a foster child, Sherry, but loved kids and loved basketball and sports, played some basketball myself. And I had a political science degree. And so I've told Steve, political science and psychology come into play quite a bit when you're dealing with angry parents, mothers who insist, well, my child has to be on this team or has to play up or whatever. Knowing how to sort of navigate that kind of stuff, some of it easier than others, but knowing how to deal with some of those kind of things was helpful. So I sort of had a lot of things I felt that fit into being the athletic director of the program.
What were the things that about the job that were the most satisfying to you?
We have short seasons. It's a youth sports program, so they're not playing year-round. They're not playing 6 months even. But even with a short 6, 7, 8 week season, you see a child come in, they're unsure, embarrassed, self-conscious, can't put one foot in front of the other. Maybe by the end of the season, they're able to do some things on a basketball court or a soccer field. And they have hopefully been accepted by their team and have made some new friends. That's a big deal for an 8-year-old or 9-year-old or 10-year-old child, boy or girl. They do it in different ways, the boys and girls, but that's part of their development. So seeing that, even just, though it's just a snapshot because the director's too busy to coach teams or be involved down at that level, but you can see it happen. And a child makes a basket who hasn't made a basket all year, and the entire place goes crazy. That's an accomplishment in my world. And it's very gratifying to see those things. And I know Steve has those kinds of feelings too.
Yeah, well, same question for you, Steve. What are the gratifications, the satisfactions of the job?
You know, I would say, not to get too theological or philosophical.
It's okay. The show's called No Limits for a reason.
There's no limit. All right. Okay. You shouldn't give me that kind of freedom on right. public radio.
All right.
I'm a really firm believer that, good people can do egregious things, and people who have done egregious things can be very good. And youth sports is a really good platform where you see a lot of that being fleshed out, and you're constantly reminded that really great people can make really be challenged and make a bad choice in that moment. Or sometimes, you know, you see somebody step up after they've made a bad choice. And I'm referencing a lot of times coaches who occasionally
I know what you're talking about.
Occasionally will forget where they're at, or you know, that these are 7-year-olds and not
Pacer.
March Madness championship game.
Yeah, that there aren't fortunes riding.
That's
on the outcome
exactly right. And
here.
You know, we get to point people towards the good and constantly remind folks of that. And I personally struggle with that too. I'm not going to say I'm perfect. I've coached my 3 boys lots, and a lot of times I really want to win, and I'll catch myself.
You always really want to win. Everybody does.
Yeah. And you know, we see kids who will model poor leadership. Kids will model really good leadership. We've seen teams in the 11, 13 boys that's a very competitive age group for basketball, where they lose every single game in the season, but they had a coach who just stayed positive and reminded them, and those kids had great attitudes. We've had other teams win every game, and the coach had a bad attitude all season, and then you see the kids reflecting it, and it's a reminder of how we should hold ourselves accountable to being better or looking inward and trying to be better. And for me, that's the deeper part of the mission. On the outside, you see, oh, you've got 2,500 kids a year playing sports. Cool, it's another sports program. What you have, though, are coaches, parents, board of directors, volunteers, church members, former staff, who will remind anybody at any time that there's certain things that aren't acceptable.
Right.
And they'll remind me of that.
Well, and one of the things, and again, I'll remind the audience, I did the disclosure that my kids pretty much grew up in that program in First Baptist Athletics, so I speak with some intimacy. One of the other things that I valued is that you would see kids coming from many varied walks of life there, including some, at least when my children were active. I don't know if it's still the case because mine aged out eventually. Was that we, you know, both of my children ended up playing on teams with refugees from parts of the
from
world.
Burma.
Yeah,
we've had a large influx of Burmese families from Myanmar, or they prefer to call it Burma. It's now called Myanmar. And many of them were Baptists because American Baptists went to the mission field of Burma in the 1800s, so that was 200 years ago. So some of them settled near First Baptist, came to First Baptist Church, and now, in fact, have their own Karen, which is an ethnic group, First Baptist Church. But they also, we got them on baseball teams and soccer teams. They played soccer. They knew soccer. They had no idea what baseball or basketball was. But kids want to play. And so we were very intentional about including them and telling coaches, help this child become part of the team. If necessary, take them. Most of them lived in apartments near the church. Take them home. Pick them up for practices and games. And what I found, John, is that so many people have told me, and I had a coach tell me just a couple of weeks ago, that they, 7 or 8 years ago, had a child on their team. He became eventually part of their family. He's now a senior at North Central, plays on the varsity soccer team, is going to IU, and we thought we were helping them. John correctly pointed out, they've helped our family. They helped my son Johnny understand what it means to give to others. So it's been an enriching experience for us to have And they're not the only refugees. Mm-hmm. We have ones from Africa, from the Middle East, et cetera. But the Burmese population has been especially impactful on both the church and the athletic program.
What are some of the milestones, you know, when we're looking at 50-year history, when you're looking back on it? And I know it's you probably, if you're dealing with 2,500 kids every year, and, you know, basically the way it works is, I know, one season ends and you're rolling right
into the next. Oh, you're starting another. You better be starting another before that season.
So it's sort of like you're in there catching, you know, the javelins all the time that are being thrown at you. So you don't. There's not a whole lot of time to stop and smell the roses or think about the significance. But when you look back on that 50 years of history, what do you see as the important or sort of watershed moments? I'll start with Steve and then go to George.
Well, one of the first things that comes to mind, and George, you can help me speak to it because you were there when this started, is our scholarship program, which allows us not only to lower the cost for all families, but specifically, and Washington Township is extremely diverse, and it's you know, been that way for how long?
At least 20 years,
yeah,
20 to 25 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so as that's happened, it's become more economically diverse, and the scholarship program with you instituted that alongside.
Yeah, but the scholarship program began in 1968 because we've never turned a child away who wanted to play and didn't have the money.
So that's correct.
We made it formalized it about 15-ish years ago and created an endowment that is part of the church's endowment to be able to do these kind of things going forward.
Yeah, so the belief that we won't turn any family or child away just because of money is a milestone to me, and then to formalize that process by having things in place to help every kid participate.
George, what milestones do you see?
Two things, John. I would say the first thing is we don't have the numbers, but there are tens of thousands, probably now hundreds of thousands of kids and therefore families who played at First Baptist Athletics. And that's pretty amazing. And I guess the second thing I would say is I think, and I won't go into detail here, but like TAB, like any other church recreational program, mm-hmm. there's always some tension. There's always the athletic program might have some trouble understanding the church. The church might have some trouble understanding the athletic program because it's a community program or whatever. There are politics involved. But I know and feel that right now we are closer as a church and an athletic program than we've probably ever been, except maybe in 1968. But we've been through a lot together. And I see us moving forward together in a way that I did not see when I first started in 1989. I worked hard on that, but I never felt like I was running in place a lot of times. Now I feel like we have traction. The church supports FBA, understands its role in the community, the value of it, and I see us going forward together, and that is really exciting to me. And I'm a member of the church, full disclaimer, but and I'm also now on the FBA board. But anyway, I just see that as huge.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about the 50th anniversary of the launching of First Baptist Athletics. It's a faith-based youth sports program in Indianapolis. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI or track us down on Twitter at WFYI. So, George, you mentioned that there were some. What were some of the tensions over the years?
I was afraid you'd ask me that.
Yeah, well, you know, you can't toss it out there. I know.
My mistake. Well, you know, like TAB, any church athletic program, there are going to be people in the church who say, now, wait a minute, on Saturday there's a small village out here. How come they're not coming into the sanctuary on Sunday? Mm-hmm. Well, the short answer to that is, which I tried to explain, is almost, you know, the vast majority of our folks, you're calling it a mm-hmm. faith-based organization. I don't use that term very often. Mm-hmm. But they are. They're members of the Indianapolis Hebrew Congregation, St. Luke's Catholic, St. Luke's Methodist, Second Pres, yada, yada, yada. Some of them are don't have a church, but most of the people at FBA are there because they want a certain kind of program. And I don't want to be too subjective, but in my view, church programs are more likely to provide that kind of environment than non-church programs. Doesn't mean there aren't good ones. Mm-hmm. Carmel Dads Club, Jewish Community Center, but that's another faith-based program. But anyway, there have been misunderstandings and questions about, you know, why doesn't that happen and how do you spend your money? We're a part of First Baptist Church, but the program is operated financially kind of separately. So there's just all kinds of potential for misunderstanding and that sort of thing. But I don't want to say it's disappeared, but there's more understanding and more of an acceptance of, okay, we're in this together, even though we come at it from a slightly different angle, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm.
Steve, you were nodding your head as he was talking.
Well, I was just going to share that within the church and within any organization, folks will define ministry or mission or being evangelical differently. Mm-hmm. For some folks, that might be silent access service. For others, it might mean we need to make pamphlets and offer an altar call in the middle of the basketball court. And so that can create a conversation that has conflict if somebody feels passionately one way or the other. And so I think I've seen that occasionally.
You may have seen it
more than me. I think what's probably helped a lot that we've probably worked on together is an honest conversation. And I think you can show that, you know, what happens is good, no matter how you define it.
Well, it's part of the outreach of the church, and that's how we model our faith in how we treat each other, how we respect each other, how we love each other. That does not mean, as Steve said, we're going to stop the game at halftime and talk about theology. So it's not always easy. I've had issues in the past where I had parents who complained that there was, too much of that going on. So I've had, the director has to deal with both sides of that mm-hmm. issue. But
you get to be the rope in the tug of war, right?
Exactly.
yeah. So let me ask this. Similar question. I'll stay with George on this one. What was for you personally, the best moment of being associated with First Baptist Athletics?
Gosh.
And what was the toughest moment? That's I know a loaded question, but.
Yeah, I don't know what I would say is the best. I honestly, John, I always felt privileged to be doing what I was doing. I felt like it was a blessing. I felt like it saved my life in some ways. I felt like it was the kind of job that was pretty well suited for who I am as a person. So I experienced that all the time. That isn't to say there weren't moments and there weren't times where I felt either overwhelmed or depressed because I had so much to do and so many things to do, and I didn't want the things I was doing to interfere with what Steve has called the overall mission and the arc of the program. But that's my answer to that question.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about First Baptist Athletics. It's a faith-based youth sports program in Indianapolis that is marking its first half century of existence this weekend. If you want to join the conversation, you can do so in several ways. You can call us at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI, or you can track us down on Twitter at WFYI. Got in the studio with me 30 years worth of First Baptist Athletics directors, Steve Carr and his predecessor, George Robinson. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking today about First Baptist Athletics. It's a faith-based youth sports program on Indianapolis' north side that is marking its 50-year anniversary this weekend with some special events. If you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or you can track us down on Twitter at WFYI. My guests are the current First Baptist Athletics Director, Steve Carr, the retired First Baptist Athletics Director, George Robinson, and joining us now by phone is Stacy Lozer, who's a commissioner, parent, has been involved in many,
former
many ways.
Yeah.
Former participant, I guess. Stacy, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. I was going to say, don't forget, 45 years ago, I was playing on those fields.
Oh, you were. Okay. So what
I was.
What drew you to the program, and what made you so devoted?
Well, I would love to say it was the soccer season that I played for a few years as a child, but truly it's we live in the community. We have three boys who are very athletic, and what drew us to the program and what had both my husband and myself give many years of commitment to it was the foundation of what it truly teaches in the world of athletics and the world of life. And it's the sportsmanship, the playing alongside someone who may be better than you or who may need your help to become better. And that was the foundation of what it was about for us. And all three of our children came up through First Baptist, and we're very proud. And I do still see that in their adult life as well, the ability for them to learn that idea of sportsmanship and in such a great and safe way to do that.
We've gotten an email from a listener named Keith. And again, if you want to join the conversation via email, you can find us at nolimits@wfyi.org. Keith writes, "Topic is close to my heart. Happy to hear George and hope he is doing well. FBA, First Baptist Athletics, helped me raise three successful daughters, all of whom have fond memories. Loved coaching and helping all of the kids. I still enjoy running across other coaches in the community. Thanks, George, and keep up the good work, Steve." Let me ask, I realize it's a question that it probably makes you a little uncomfortable because it invites you to sound self-serving or whatever, and I'm not intending it in that spirit, but I'm going to ask all three of you, what is it you think about this program? A half century is a long time. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a milestone. What is it about this program that has allowed it to endure for as long as it has and made it as successful? I'll start with Stacy, but I'm going to take this one around the horn.
What is about the program? What's about the program is that it's about so many things on so many levels. And the comment from the person in the email, it goes exactly what we believe, too. We've made some lifelong friends through our commitment and through our boys playing at First Baptist. And it's a part of our community. People walk, ride their bikes, bring their wagon or drive 30 minutes to get to First Baptist to play on a Saturday morning or a Tuesday night if it's basketball. So I think it's about the community that it builds. And it builds it in a safe way that focuses on just incredible foundations of growth and development.
Steve.
I already alluded to it earlier. I think it's the fact that we put our money where our mouth is and we open the doors for accountability. We remind our coaches to communicate with us. We have volunteers and staff and board members walking around the fields observing, and we are constantly pointing people towards the mission. And that's that we're the place for good sports, emphasis on good, meaning we emphasize good sportsmanship over winning at all cost.
George.
I think I would go back to something Stacy talked about, the social family atmosphere. People have made lifelong friends at First Baptist, and it's a family environment for the whole family, not just the child who's playing, but the mom and dad, the grandparents. And the other thing I would say is that it's not easy to teach, as all teachers know, but it's really tough to teach children to be good sports to smile when they've lost. It's easy to be a good sport when you've won. It's extremely difficult to do when you've lost. And then if the referee has blown the call or the other team has cheated or you didn't get to play, it's just so easy default to be angry, to be, I don't want to say irrational, but illogical, to be unfair to other people. Teaching a child, I mean, we have coaches who can't do it. That's what Steve was talking about. So we work with the coaches to show them how to show the kids to be good sports, and it's hard as hell. It's very hard, particularly in the sports culture that we, in fact, live in. But that's, to me, that's why this program has been sustained over the years, is because parents know when they come there what kind of environment their child is going to be in.
If you're just joining us, go ahead, Stacey.
I was going to say one of my favorite moments was when our sons played outside of First Baptist. We were in a baseball summer game, and we were losing, I think, 25 to maybe one if we were lucky. And the game got called, and all of the kids looked at the coaches, and they looked at the parents, and they said, "Why are we stopping? We want to keep playing." There was no sense of defeat in their words. They knew that they were totally outmatched in that tournament, but it didn't matter. They wanted to keep playing. They wanted to keep having fun. They wanted to keep enjoying it. And that's one of those ones that really stands out. And my kids have played at very high competitive levels. And even now, I still see those same kind of values coming through, that sometimes you lose a big game, but that's okay. We learned, we played together, we supported each other as a team, and I still attribute it to the foundation that they got from playing at First Baptist.
Yeah, and I'm going to break the kind of protocol of the show here. Normally, I ask the questions, don't provide the answers, and I try to stay out of this, but as I've disclosed a couple of times already, my kids went through the First Baptist Athletics Program. And one of the things that will stick in my mind the most about that, I think when we were off the air, George alluded to the fact that my son had played on, I don't know what you would call that team, whether it was an all-star team or a travel team. It was basically a chance to get some boys together and let them play a little more basketball.
That's what it really was.
And they did. And that group of boys became very, very close. And I should also disclose that the coach was George's nephew. It's one of those ways that reminds everyone that Indianapolis is not really a city. It is the largest small town in America. you know, they played together. And then a couple of years later, one of the boys on that team and my son, they go to different schools, were playing against each other in a game that was incredibly hard fought. It went basketball game. They went into three overtimes. My son and this other boy led their respective squads in scoring. Both had very, very good games, but it was like it was back and forth. I mean, they were. And in the end, my son's team won by a single point. But after the game, you know, A, they came up to each other and huge handshake and hug. There was tremendous amount of mutual respect. And when I was driving my son home, all he could talk about was how well the other guy had played.
That's right.
And I thought, okay, that validates all of those hours that we had. George, you give me a thumbs up. What are you thinking right now?
Well, that's what it's about. It's respecting the other team, win, lose, you played well, you didn't play well, they played well, whatever. It's about respect and frankly, love. I would imagine that Ian loves that child in some definition of the word.
Yeah.
But I've heard that story literally hundreds of times, and with change the characters, change the teams. The kids who are in college, beyond college, get together, stay up with each other because they learned some basic things at FBA.
I actually coach my son on an all-star team for the last 2 years, and I was just looking for a note a parent sent me. His name's Edward, and he's probably one of the smartest people I know. He's a professor at IUPUI, so it really struck me what he shared. He said, this team, this experience we've had the last 2 years, he goes, it has just been so wonderful and great, the relationships we built. He also said, it's also been a challenge and a spiritual exercise for me personally, which I thought was really interesting for somebody who I really think is one of the smarter people. Not comparing to myself, because I'm usually not the smartest guy in the room, but Edward is especially smart, if you ask me. And for him to say it was challenging sometimes, we talked a little more about it. He really saw the value in not only the community that Stacy shared, but also in the relationships that are a little more difficult within sports, and
absolutely,
and how that, you know, challenged him to respect others and try to
and teach that to his son.
Absolutely.
We're talking about First Baptist Athletics 50 years of history here on No Limits. If you want to join the conversation, you can do what a listener named Bill has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Bill, you're on the air.
Yes, how are you doing today? And to your panel and guest, I would like to say, first of all, I really believe that, you know, looking at it in a from a, I guess I would want to say a spiritual view, that, you know, you have, like, you, the conversation you were saying earlier, you had about the question you was putting to them, what has had any conflict or anything on, as far as, like, with the institution of the church, you know, and they asked the questions like, why aren't the people coming in? Well, if you remember, if I'm not mistaken, it says where Paul said, well, I became all things through Christ that I might win some. So having said that, I look at it from the standpoint of, you know, not the from the building standpoint, but we as the people being the church and them stepping outside of that institution of that building, that box, and them actually saying, okay, we need to have some kind of how can we reach out? In other words, like he said, Christ said, he said, go into the hedges and highway. Well, he allowed some recreational programs to be created for, you know, people like you that, because everybody can't do that, be directors of sports programs and things like that, but the ones that can or have done that, you're planting seeds in the community, and that turns around to have a great impact on communities and throughout the world. So I commend you guys on what you're doing. I think it's an excellent job. You're doing an excellent job, and I hope it continues and everything, and also would like to say this. Hopefully when you retire as a director or when you decide to leave, hopefully that they may choose somebody in there as well that has a compassion and a vision as you did or God gave you. So, and not to mention the gentleman that you have with you, who he said that he's a quiet guy. He doesn't, but you know, he considers himself not to be, of great intellect or whatever, but a lot of times God, he can use that humility right there and use something.
Thank
great
you so
that.
Much. Thank you.
I just thought I'd let you know this because it, I mean, I just think that if more people would see, he would allow themselves to be used by Christ as you gentlemen will. I think you're going to have more impact on communities as well. And I'm talking about with every race, every Burmese, you know, I used to pass by there and used to wonder why so many Burmese were over, but I didn't know that they were a part of your program as well, and I think that's a great job. So thank you again, and have a nice day. Okay?
Thank you very much for the call, Bill.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, Steve, that's got to be gratifying to hear.
Yeah, it's, you know, he said outreach, and I one thing that I think is great is that whether you read the Bible or any other story of people doing good, you see that it looks different for different people, and people serve in the way that that is best for them. And so I think there's lots of opportunities for that in our program.
Yeah, we've gotten a couple of emails I'm going to do back-to-back here. One from a listener named Penny. And again, if you want to join our conversation by email, you can find it at nolimits@wfyi.org. Penny writes, kudos to the wonderful folks being interviewed right now on your show. My son and daughter, both adoptees from Thailand, participated years ago. My son's own son and daughter have participated in the soccer program. I couldn't help but notice that there were Burmese families participating, which made me very happy. My own daughter-in-law's family were among refugees in the 1970s, so I've learned to appreciate when an organization like First Baptist helps out as they've done. I'm a volunteer for Washington Township Special Olympics, and when I was assisting our walking team on the First Baptist grounds late in the summer, I saw the amazingly beautiful vegetable garden that the Burmese were tending. This organization is obviously invested not in youth sports, but also in helping a group of people who deserve lots of kindness from strangers. And then another one similar in theme from a listener named Mary, who says, my two children played sports at First Baptist in the 90s. We loved the program and participated for at least 5 years. I was blessed to coach a couple of times, which was very rewarding. I remember watching all of the practices and games. It was a very special time for my family. We are Catholic, but the kids attended the children's program on Sunday evening at First Baptist Church. I just wanted to send you a big thank you and congratulations for 50 years of ministry. So we've got, we're actually getting close to the end of the program here. And I'll ask George, I think, to talk about how you're going to mark this 50 years on Sunday.
Well, it's going to be a really cool event. We have a worship service with a kind of standard First Baptist worship service, except kids will be in uniforms. it'll be slightly different, but we have a video interviewing some participants and some young people, and I'm going to speak and talk about what I consider the legacy of First Baptist Athletics over 50 years. And then we have a reception that's sort of a reunion, in my opinion, in Fellowship Hall, which is our gym. We're going to have concession food, hot dogs, and popcorn. It's just going to be a fun day.
And we hope all those people who have been a part of the program would join us, Keith and Penny and Mary and everyone else.
Stacy, I'm going to give you the last word here because you came in a little late. What is your best First Baptist Athletics memory?
Wow. Well, I shared the one with the boys. Probably it was when we had the opportunity with both of our boys to go to Cooperstown, and that was kind of the pinnacle end of the baseball life many times at First Baptist. But to be able to take a team that has all of those qualities and all of those that sportsmanship at its best to a higher level like Cooperstown and breathe the air, which just breathes a little bit differently, and watch these boys and the families connect. That has to be for us. All three boys had that chance, and what an incredible opportunity that was. And for them to carry every bit of who they were and what they that they learned through First Baptist was probably one of my favorite memories.
That'll have to be the last word here. I would like to thank my guests, Stacy Lozer, George Robinson, and Steve Carr, for what has been a lovely conversation. Congratulate you on 50 years of history and
wish you, John,
at least 50 more.
Thank you.
John Kroll.
Thank you, John. You've been
listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producers Sarah Neal Estes, Roxana Caldwell, and Jill Sheridan. Interactive Media Coordinator Scott McAllister. Technical producers Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood, and board engineer Joe Hatcher. Emily Matheny screens our calls. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting station.